Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. If you are in a position to have a copy of the Bible at hand, I would like to encourage you to go to the New Testament Book of Acts, chapter 24. As we advance in this study, you may want to follow the readings in your Bible. Jesus foretold and warned his apostles that they would face trouble in their ministry. Jesus said, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." These words found fulfilling in the life of the Apostle Paul. He had been sent from Jerusalem to Caesarea under the protection of the guards provided by the commander Claudius Lysias. When Paul arrived in Caesarea, he was presented to the governor Felix, who put him under guard in Herod's palace. There he would be brought before the governor and representatives of the Jews to be questioned. We read in Acts chapter 24, verses 1 to 9. "And after 5 days the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a spokesman, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, 'Since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation, in every way and everywhere we accept this with all gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly. For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him.' The Jews also joined in the charge, affirming that all these things were so." Five days had passed since Paul had been brought to Caesarea. In the meantime, a delegation of the Supreme Council of the Jews came from Jerusalem to Caesarea to bring charges against Paul. One of the members of the delegation was the high priest Ananias, noted by his cruelty and violence. When the revolt against Rome broke out, he was assassinated by his own people. Also, some elders were part of the delegation, since the Supreme Council was made up of 71 elders. Besides, a spokesman or orator called Tertullus belonged to the delegation. In a court trial, a man trained in forensic rhetoric would serve as an attorney at law. All these men brought charges against Paul. Tertullus, the spokesman of the delegation, presented the case concerning Paul before the governor Felix. First of all, Tertullus praised the governor for the peaceful times he brought about and for the reforms he had made for the nation. It was a common practice of the day to attempt to capture the goodwill by praising the authority for the good things he had done for the people. In the present case, most of the praise was undeserved. In his 6 years in office, Felix had eliminated bands of robbers, thwarted organized assassins, and crushed a movement led by an Egyptian. But in general, his record was not good. He had caused much conflict, which eventually led to the revolt of the Jews in the year 66 AD. Secondly, the spokesman Tertullus presented the charge. Paul was accused of being a plague or a public enemy. So Tertullus implied that Paul was harmful to the well-being of the Jews. Paul was accused of stirring up riots among the Jews throughout the world. To excite dissension in the empire was treason against Caesar and therefore taken as a serious matter. Paul was also accused of being a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. The Jews considered Christians to be another party within Judaism, such as the Pharisees or Sadducees. To be a leader of a religious sect without Roman approval was contrary to the law. Furthermore, Paul was accused of trying to profane the temple. Note, the charge was qualified an attempt, rather than the former claim to effectively having desecrated the temple. These charges, presented by the spokesman Tertullus, got the support of the Jews. How would Paul react to the charges brought against him? Acts chapter 24, verses 10 to 21 tell us. And when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Now after several years I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple, without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, they ought to be here before you and to make an accusation, should they have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council, other than this one thing that I cried out while standing among them, it is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day." In our days, no one would dare to go to a court trial without a lawyer to defend the case. Paul, however, did not have a spokesman to make his defense. There he stood alone before the highest authority. Alone? Not exactly. The Lord Jesus Christ was with him. The governor allowed Paul to defend himself. Paul did not make use of flattery as Tertullus did, but he ascribed to Felix broader experience than simply that of governor, being also a judge over the Jewish nation. So Paul appealed to Felix to be a fair judge. Then Paul answered each accusation. He went to Jerusalem to worship, not to cause trouble, not to stir up riots, not to desecrate the temple. The Jews were unable to substantiate their accusations with proofs. If Paul had truly been a plague throughout the entire world, then they should have been able to come up with proof of his guilt. Paul confessed his faith. He declared to be a worshipper of the same God as the fathers. He adhered to God's word, especially as it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He confessed to be a follower of the way, that is, Christ and the Christian faith. He hoped in the resurrection of all people, as the Pharisees and most of the Jews did. he strived to keep his conscience clear before God and men. Paul also explained why he came to Jerusalem, to bring gifts to the poor believers and to present offerings in the temple. Paul referred to the gifts gathered in the churches to help fellow Christians in and around Jerusalem. When he came into the temple, he was ceremonially clean, so he did neither desecrate the temple nor did he cause disturbance. The Asian Jews who originally brought up charges against Paul should be there in the court of Caesarea, Paul argued. Roman law required that one's accusers be present to make their case. The accusers present at the moment were unable to provide substantiated charges. "What I'm guilty of?" Paul asked. And then, emphatically, Paul stated, "It is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I'm on trial before you this day." Likewise before, Paul again introduced the point of contention between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the resurrection of the dead.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
How was Paul's defense received? We read in Acts chapter 24, verses 22 to 27. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control in the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. The governor Felix had a rather accurate knowledge of the way. He could not have governed Judea and Samaria for 6 years without becoming familiar with Christianity and the activities of the Christians. Felix may have got this knowledge from his Jewish wife, who must have been familiar with Christianity. Concerning the trial, it was enough for that day, according to the governor. He adjourned the proceedings till the tribute or commander Lysias would come. Then he would decide what to do next. Meanwhile, Paul was put under custody but had some freedom. He was in a kind of house arrest where he could receive visitors who supplied him with clothes and food. The governor recognized Paul's Roman citizenship, according to which he could not be bound to prison unless found guilty of a crime. Paul was held in Caesarea for 2 years. Several days later, Felix and his Jewish wife Drusilla came to hear Paul. Drusilla was Felix's third wife, daughter of Herod Agrippa I, who was ruthless in his treatment of Christians. Paul took advantage of the occasion and announced some of the basics of the Christian faith, namely, righteousness, self-control, and judgment. Clearly, Felix and Drusilla needed to hear of these important matters. Apparently, Felix considered his life history and was filled with fear. He put a close to their encounter with Paul. Lost, Pride, greed, and selfish ambition made it recurrently inconvenient to change. However, Felix continued to call for Paul. Why? Because Felix hoped Paul would offer him a bribe. Felix supposed Paul had access to considerable funds. He remembered Paul mentioning money he had brought to the Jewish Christians in Palestine. So he wanted Paul to give him money in order to secure his release. After 2 years, during which Paul was kept under guard in Caesarea to please the Jews, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. Paul's case was still pending. It was now up to the new governor to do something about. Acts chapter 25, verses 1 to 7 report the following. Now 3 days after Festus had arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priest and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul, and they urged him, asking as a favor against Paul that he summon him to Jerusalem, because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea, and that he himself intended to go there shortly. So, said he, let the man of authority among you go down with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him. After he stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. When he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him that they could not prove. Once in the new position, Festus went from Caesarea to Jerusalem, a journey of about 60 miles. He was anxious to go immediately to the center of Jewish rule and worship. In Jerusalem, chief priests and the principal men of the Jews came to Festus and presented charges against Paul. They asked Festus to transfer Paul from Caesarea to Jerusalem, but with evil intentions. They were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Behind the plan probably was the same group who wanted to take Paul's life earlier. Festus did not grant the request. The matter should be treated in Caesarea. According to Festus, the Jews should send a delegation to Caesarea and press charges against Paul there, if he had done anything wrong. That's what happened. Once Festus was home in Caesarea, he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. The Jews who came from Jerusalem brought their charges, but again they couldn't prove anything, neither did they have witnesses nor evidence for the charges. Once again, troubles surrounding the preaching of the gospel were due to groundless provocation by its enemies. Acts chapter 25, verses 8 to 12 describe Paul's defense. Paul argued in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me? But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go. Once more, Paul had no one to defend himself. He spoke for himself, asserting his innocence. Festus wanted to please the Jews, however, and asked Paul whether he would agree to stand trial before him in Jerusalem. Paul did not agree, because being a Roman citizen, he had the right to go to a local provincial court. Instead, however, he looked to a higher Roman court. Paul made use of his right, saying, I appeal to Caesar. Every Roman citizen had the right to have his case heard in the emperor's court in Rome. This was the highest court of appeal, and winning such a case could have led to more than just Paul's acquittal. It could have resulted in official recognition of Christianity as distinct from Judaism. The emperor of the day was Nero. At that point in time, Nero was not yet a terrible persecutor of the church. Consulting with his officials and legal experts, Festus granted Paul's request. At least two lessons can be drawn from what we have explored in this study. One of them, innocent people have been and continue to be charged of non-committed crimes. The Apostle Paul was a case in point. Many Christians in our days, particularly in places where persecution reigns, suffer accusations and sometimes are condemned for things not said or not done. Jesus Christ, however, is the advocate who defends the cause of his followers and in due time delivers them. Jesus Christ himself was accused of and condemned for crimes he did not commit. In his innocence, we find refuge and shelter. A second lesson that we learn from the study of today is that bribery is a big issue in all spheres of our society. One of the reasons the governor Felix listened to Paul frequently was because he expected to receive money from Paul and, in exchange, release him. Today, people are willing to compromise honesty, justice, and fairness with the aim of receiving money. Greed moves people to corruption and a number of other crimes. Jesus declared, One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Luke chapter 16, verse 12. The Apostle Paul himself advises us, If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. In the next study, we shall consider the following developments in Paul's life. God bless you.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.